Fishermen all along the eastern seaboard won't soon forget the 1980s, a time when lines came up empty for striped bass. The species had been fished to near extinction, and the fight to bring it back has gone down as one of the greatest environmental success stories. Dick Russell was on the front lines of that effort and now anticipates a second conflict on the horizon that fishermen might not be ready for. He's an environmental journalist and author of Striper Wars, an American fish story. I went out on the water with Dick Russell near Woods Hole, Massachusetts, and asked him what it took to bring the fish back.
Eventually, it took pretty much a complete shutting down of all the fishing along the Atlantic coast. Striped bass migrates from North Carolina all the way to Maine, sometimes even to Nova Scotia. And then eventually the state of Maryland, which is where most of the stripers on the Chesapeake Bay, on the Atlantic coast come from, declared a 5-year moratorium. And when they shut down the fishery in the spawning grounds, I knew that was gonna do it. I didn't know the fish would ever come back to the extent they have today, but it took a near total shutdown of the entire Atlantic coast fishery to do it.
Now, one of the people that was involved in the bass recovery effort is a postman? His name is Jim White, and I understand he has a whale of a tale.
He really does. It's one of those magical stories that kind of has no explanation. And he had become bitter enemies with a sports fisherman who owned a bait and tackle shop named Joe Malika. And they become enemies because they took different sides on the moratorium question, whether Rhode Island needed to shut down fishing or not for a period of time. And Malika didn't think so. One day Jim was out fishing and his reel broke. This was after the moratorium had been declared in Rhode Island, Maryland, and elsewhere. So he needed to get it fixed, and the closest place he could do that was this bait and tackle shop that Malika owned. So he went there, and he saw this beautiful fishing rod on the wall, and he asked Malika about it, and Malika said, "You want one? I'll make it for you." Jim thought, "Oh, geez, I don't know if I can do that. We're enemies." But anyway, he said, "Okay, I just love this rod. I got to have this rod." So Malika made it for him. He came back. He got it. Went striped bass fishing, I think, that same day. This is a time when there are very few striped bass around. And on every cast he made, he hooked into an incredible bass with this rod. And he was shaking. I mean, he looked up at the heavens at one point. He said, "Lord, if you're going to take me now." He just hadn't had an experience like this in Lord knows how long. So he caught all these fish, and he finally went running back to Malika's tackle shop, and he says, "What did you do to this rod? Is it haunted? What did you? I can't believe what's happening." And Malika says, "Oh, I think it's just a lucky rod for you." Well, he went on catching striped bass when nobody else could with this rod, all kinds of great adventures, for 79 consecutive trips. And on the 80th trip, the spell was broken somehow. He didn't catch a bass. And he happened to look up in his logbook. He kept a logbook of all the meetings he'd attended and, you know, kind of everything that he'd been doing in fishing for a period of years. And he just, for some reason, he started counting up the meetings that he and Malika had attended. And they had gone together to precisely 79 meetings, and there had never been an 80th. And that's exactly the number of trips where he, with that magic rod that Joe Malika made for him, that's how many stripers he caught. Now, they became friends again, and they remain fast friends to this day.
And that has to be a fish story.
I think it's a wonderful fish story.
What's the trick to catching one of these fish?
Well, it's kind of like being in the right place at the right time. And plus, you just never know what they're going to do. They'll confound you at any moment. If you hook into one, they'll wrap around a rock and just do everything they can to shake loose and shake you up. And at the same time, it's this just very special feeling inside about a striped bass. I think it's a soulful feeling, and that's what made them worth fighting for long ago and still today.
Dick, I understand that maybe the striped bass is headed for another crash.
Well, we hope not, but there's a big, big problem happening again today in the Chesapeake Bay, and it's ecosystem related. Almost 70% of the striped bass are suffering from a bacterial infection, and it's sort of a chronic wasting disease that gives them lesions and also impacts their internal organs. It's being studied extensively by scientists from all along the coast, and it appears to be stress-related, and that stress appears to be coming from the fact that they're not getting enough to eat. A lot of the fish that you're seeing in the Chesapeake today and even along the Atlantic coast as they migrate are very emaciated, and they're turning to things like lobsters and blue crabs and things that aren't as nutritious for them as this little bony, oily, inedible fish called a menhaden, which has always been the preferred food of choice for striped bass. And there aren't as many menhaden around, and now it appears that they are being overfished in the Chesapeake. And menhaden are used, they're brought back and they're ground up into fish meal, which is used to feed chickens and hogs and also for aquaculture. And then they're also being used increasingly for the oil, fish oil, because they're a very oily fish, and it's being used for omega-3 vitamin supplements.
So the person who buys that capsule containing omega-3 vitamin maybe is helping hasten the demise of the striped bass?
I'm afraid that that's true, or could be true. And I'm just afraid that if they continue to fish menhaden at the levels they have been, which is taking, like, literally millions of fish, millions of pounds of fish every summer, that not only are the menhaden going to perhaps disappear, but all the striped bass may go, too.
I want to read a bit from your book. Quote, "Everybody was so happy to have plenty of striped bass. Makes it very difficult for people to let go of the success story. That's what's going on today. They can't afford to believe it might not go on forever." Dick, is there a mental block against the idea that bass might again be in danger? Who has that block?
Oh, I think a lot of fishermen have it. Especially because there's so many striped bass in the last 10 years, and they've been going up every year, and the regulations have been getting more and more lax because there are a lot of fish out there to catch. And my book, I believe, is a cautionary tale because we'd all like to, I would too, like to sort of rest on what happened 20 years ago and the fact that that worked and the fish have come back. And yet today we got a whole other new set of problems. And I think it's a slowly dawning awareness. I think that, the necessity is for constant vigilance. And that's the message I'm trying to get out there.
Well, thanks, Dick. Your book is called Striper Wars, An American Fish Story. Dick Russell, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. So good to be with you today.